Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are so blessed that you are here to worship Jesus, our coming King and Lord and Savior, with us here this morning. Just want to highlight a couple brief announcements. If you'll notice with me on the back of your bulletin, we have a couple Bible studies going on each Wednesday. We have the Women's Grace Group, and they are studying the War Room Bible study, which is based upon the movie The War Room. All the ladies are invited to be a part of that. And then we also have Wednesdays, the Disciple Bible Study, which is a much more in-depth look at the scriptures. And anyone is able and invited to come and be a part of that. And that is each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Please make note of the other announcements on the back of your bulletin. And as God leads, may you be a part of our family here as the Spirit leads you. And we do have a request for prayer here this morning. There was a young lady by the name of Janelle who was burned over the weekend. And so we want to lift her up in prayer as we open this time of praise and worship with prayer. So if you would, bow your heads and your hearts, and let's go before our Lord and our coming King, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, yes, it is beautiful. The snow is beautiful, how it purifies the atmosphere and cleanses the air, and how you ordained it to do such. And so, Father, may we see you in all the beauty of creation, and may we just see you here this morning in the opportunity that you have blessed us with to sing praises unto your holy name, to give thanks to you for your goodness, your mercy, your love, your grace, and your peace. And so, Father, we commit this morning into your care. We ask that you would take it, to use it, to glorify yourself in it and by it and for it. And may you touch our hearts and our souls to be forever changed through this service. And Lord, we do remember Janelle this morning. We pray for grace and courage for her as she goes through the time of recuperation from the severe burns that she suffered. And Heavenly Christ, may you be glorified in that situation somehow in some way. And Lord, as we pause to prepare our hearts, we just place the burdens that we all carry at your feet right now, silently and quietly, that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, may prepare our hearts for this time of praise and worship, that we truly might commune with you. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and we love you. May you be blessed as we exalt your holy name here this morning, and we lift this to you in the holy name of the risen Christ, our Savior, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbors and say, I'm following God's plan.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised. Promise for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home, come home, come home, home. Ye who are weary, come home. Tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
As we bow our heads, our Heavenly Father, what an awesome God we serve, as the words of those songs ring true, as you plead to us to give thanks to you so that we don't have to linger. Do we not heed your mercies, Lord? You've given us so much mercy. Allow us to put our past into your hands. Allow us to know we have a bright future. Allow us to stay focused on you. Allow us not to turn our heads to other distractions, Lord. Allow us to be disciplined. Father, as we plead to you to come into our lives and be there with us. Lord, in all things we give you praise. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning we're going to take the next several moments, and I'm going to invite Matt to come forward and we are going to hear about a ministry. And friends, I just want to share with you that God truly is at work here amongst us, whether or not we realize it or not. But Matt is going to come forward and share with us one way that God is truly working within the body of Trinity here in our congregation. So Matt, if you would, please, I'm sure you will do wonderful. Thank you for being willing to come and share with us as to what God is doing through the ministry that you're involved.
Sure. All right, I'm used to being upstairs and behind you guys, so excuse me. I'm going to read directly from my notes. Hello, I'm Matt Sanchez. I've been working on the Trinity website since 2009. I've helped build, maintain, and plan our web presence alongside Pastor and Susie. The mission was to create a resource our church and community could utilize to grow and strengthen the relationship, the community's relationship with God. Part of creating this resource was a vision to deliver our services to those who were not able to come into the church. The outreach was spread farther than we had expected. Recordings have become part of our members' daily routine to listen to past sermons or to share with others. Newcomers use it to get a taste of what we're about during our normal Sunday services. Go to the next screen. The 2015 final numbers, I took a batch export of all the data from the website. It has shown we have had up to 2,000 plus unique visitors, which a unique visitor is a unique device, so like a desktop or a tablet or a phone. So we had at least 2,000 different devices connecting to our website alone during the year. 156 is the average daily visitor to the website locally, so that's excluding outside of I excluded like Toledo and then farther past Tiffin in that area. So we have at least 156 just coming from Gibsonburg, Fremont, Elmore, Genoa, that are general area, which is pretty exciting, I think. So more recently, the worship team has been hard at work perfecting a new service for the new year on the site called Live, which is live broadcasting during, like right now, right now we're live on the website broadcasting. We have a webcam and all that fancy stuff up there. So it's a new resource that live broadcasts a service straight to visitors on our site. I believe last week we had 4 live visitors viewing it the entire time, which is really cool, because that means, I think last week was the week that we had all that snow and people weren't able to come in. And so on Facebook we posted, you know, if you're not able to come in, go to the website and watch live so you don't miss out on the service. And at least 4 people, which it doesn't sound like a lot, but for such a new thing that we haven't exactly perfected yet, or we're still kind of working on, it's really cool to see how people are using it. These steps in the digital world is in no way or form attempting to replace traditional church, but to enhance and offer new ways to worship and include those who are unable to attend on the mission to bring everyone closer to God. Alongside our new ventures with the live, we've been working for the past 2 years to bring this new feature called online giving. I've been working with Max and others in the congregation to give an option for donations and tithing. In no way is it to replace our traditional way of tithing to replace offering whatsoever, but instead offer those who do not carry cash or checks. Like I don't carry cash with me every week, so I don't usually put in the offering, but I give in other ways. Offering this new service would really will allow like people in my generation to contribute to Trinity and our missions, both securely and effortlessly. I strongly feel that we are going, building this new feature took so long, because if we were going to do it, we had to do it right. We couldn't just slap it together and put on the site, hey, you know, there's a new feature. We had to kind of bring it in and make sure it plugged in directly with our overall mission. Online giving offers you to donate a preset amount. Oh, okay, sorry. or a custom amount of your choosing. You can set the amount to be a recurring monthly donation. You are given a login to manage or opt out at any time. After inputting the required fields and submitting your card info, the donation is made, and you get a detailed email receipt for your records. That's pretty much it. It's nice and simple. It's clean cut. It's non-intrusive. It gives people like me, my generation, a new comfort way to donate and tithe. So that's the most exciting part of going into 2016, is introducing the new live feature for broadcasting live, and also the online giving people like me options to donate to the church and different missions. So I've been overjoyed to work on this project for so long. My last part here is thank you for your continued use and support of our web ministries. I am personally excited to work on such a powerful resource for church and community. This labor of love has been truly a joy. Since coming to Trinity back in 2009, I've been truly blessed. My experience here has opened new doors in my professional career, introduced me to my future wife, and strengthened my relationship with God. I'm overwhelmed with joy when I hear the hard work put into our web resources help bring someone closer to God. And I encourage you all to also share in that joy. So check out GibsonburgTrinity.org and check out the new cool things we've been working on. So thank you.
Thank you, Matt. And I just want to share one last thing. As Matt said, it's not about being, you know, keeping up with any other church or anything. It's about getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out to our community. And sometimes we wonder if it's what we're doing here is really working. And 2015 held a lot of changes here for us at Trinity. And a couple weeks ago, I received a phone call from the district office, and it went like this. It said, Pastor Max, the bishop would like to recognize Trinity for hitting some of your breakthrough goals. And the number one goal that we hit was on baptisms. And so I shared this with the lead team, and they quickly responded and said, you know, is there any way that you can share that with the congregation? And I'm here to tell you, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ and about what he has called us to do. And he has called us to introduce others to their real home. We just sang softly and tenderly, come home, come home. And that's what we are about here. We are about inviting others to come home to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so with that, God is at work here, friends. He is at work. He is alive. He is well. He is doing some mighty things. The web is just one way, one tool, one avenue that we can utilize to continue to get God's message of grace and truth and forgiveness and peace out to the culture and out to the community. And we have to be obedient and listen as he leads. There will be more changes. I don't know what they are yet, but I will tell you, as God leads, we will be faithful and obedient. And we as a congregation will follow. Let's give God a round of applause for what he's doing. Junior worship is now dismissed. For those in kindergarten through fifth grade, we have a special ministry prepared especially for you. As we continue this time of worship with a reading of our scripture, we find it in 1 Corinthians Chapter 9, we will be reading verses 16 through 27. And if you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you will find that on page 1781. Please follow along as we listen to a reading from the book of 1 Corinthians. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. That's what we're about, friends. Winning as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give back what God has called us to with a cheerful and loving heart.
Heavenly Father, we do indeed give you the praise and the thanks and the glory for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of your blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Some time ago in our culture, there was this catchphrase when something good would happen to people, and it would go like this, where if somebody received a freebie or got a good parking spot right near the door, people would look at one another and say, winning. That's what they would say, is it not? You know, they would say, winning. You know, in our culture, it's always a self-focused, seeking of our own desires and our own wants. The last couple weeks we started this series titled God's Balance for Life. And friends, this morning God does want you and I to win at life. And I hope to share with us all this morning what the prescription looks like for you and I to win at life. Now also, we have in our culture, there's an automobile ad on TV recently that the young kid gets the trophy and the dad's standing by the car and he says, what? My son's getting the same trophy as everyone else and we beat all the other teams, and he rips the moniker off of the trophy and he writes champs on it. We have a culture that basically is saying that it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you show up, you are the same as everyone else. And we sadly have purported that into our journey with Jesus. We have transferred that into our relationship with Christ. We have a bad word in our culture, and it's called discipline. And I'm not talking about discipline in your children. I'm talking about your discipline and my discipline, how we live our lives, what we do, how we make our choices and decisions, how we set our priorities, and how those things that we determine to be important are decided. And friends, our culture is speaking a message that says, you don't need any discipline. Do whatever it is that you want to do. Whatever makes you feel good, go out and do it. That's our culture. That's the message that the world in our country and probably around the world, maybe not so much all around the world, but that's the message that is being spoken to you and I in subtle, underhanded, you know, quiet phrases when we accept those things. Like, I am only winning when I get a parking spot next to the door. Why am I not winning when I park all the way down at the bank and walk down the aisle so that someone else can park next to the door? I am only winning when I get a freebie, when something happens and the waiter or waitress says, hey, it's on the house today. Why am I not winning when I pay the bill for someone else in need? You see the difference? And sadly, many of us as Christians, we have bought into that mindset of it's all about me and it's all about what I get and how I seek to just bring gratification to myself. And that's rough. But it's very true. This morning, our text is found in the book of 1 Corinthians. And we read it earlier. It's in chapter 9. And we're going to look again here at verses 24 through 27. And this is the Apostle Paul. And you have to know that he's writing to the church at Corinth. Now, the church at Corinth did not anything by the way of discipline. The church at Corinth actually accepted sin, and they, in fact, brought the sin into their own congregation, and in fact, they esteemed that sin. You'll find it in 1 Corinthians 5 if you want to read about it. They were so fractured, so scattered, that there was these factions in the congregation that some would say, I am from Christ, I am from Paul, I am from Apollos, and they were so divided because they all thought they were winning. They all thought that it was about them. And over 2015, friends, I don't know if you realize it this or not, but in the West Ohio Conference, there's over 1,100 churches. Now, I'll put this in perspective, what I just shared with us a moment ago. 1,100 churches in West Ohio, and they're picking Trinity. They're picking Trinity to bring us and to honor us because God is at work here. No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. It's not about my ministry. It's not about your ministry. It's about a desire to seek the face of God. And that is exactly what has happened here over 2015. I don't know if you realize it or not. We have come together as one. We used to be fractured. We used to be divided. We had two services that neither one would come toward the other. And what God did in 2015 is he said, I'm going to redefine what you feel winning is. Winning is not singing your songs. Winning is not doing the service the way you want to do it. Winning is glorifying God and serving God and exalting his holy name because he is the only one that is worthy. That's winning, friends. And that's what God is doing here. To think that we are a congregation of 100 plus, and they want to honor us. There's a whole lot of mega churches in this West Ohio Conference. And I'm very cautious that this doesn't come to me. It's not about me. It's about the risen Christ. It's about the crucified Christ. In a couple weeks, we're going to enter into Lent season. It's about Jesus, Christ crucified. And in if any moment, ministry here, and I have had these conversations in meetings where someone asked me, are we going to do such and such a ministry? And I said, if we're not sharing the gospel, then no, we're not doing it. That's where my foot goes down. Because it's all about Christ and all about Jesus. And it's not about you or me. It's not about Trinity. If we truly want to see God move, we must continue down the path. So Paul is writing to this church at Corinth, a factioned, a fractured, a divided church, a church that was all about themselves, esteeming sin because it was all what they wanted to do. And he pens these words. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize?" This is the heart of God, friends, and I want you to know this. This is the heart of God. He says, run in such a way that you may win. If you have your Bibles, other translations, I picked the New American Standard Bible because it says win. It says that three-letter word, win. Other translations translate it this way, so that you may obtain it. Well, the may, the other three-letter word, if you have your Bible, circle that. That's in the subjunctive case. It's the realm of the possibility, because sometimes if we don't run in a certain way, we're not going to obtain it. We're not going to win. And what does win mean? It means what's important now. What's important now? We're going to go, and we're going to talk about decisions here in a few moments. But to truly win, we need to begin to ask ourselves the questions. What is important now? Last week we talked about, you know, our time and our money being the guardrails to our heart. And we talked about the window of opportunity that God gives to us. And if you have preschoolers, he gives you that set window of opportunity to invest into their lives. If you have elementary schoolers, he gives you that set opportunity to invest in their lives at that age. And you have to begin to ask that question, what is important now? If you're after the childbearing years, and if you are empty nesters, what's important now? Maybe it's passing on that wisdom and knowledge of living life and experiencing life that God has blessed you with on mentoring other people. And see, it's asking what is important now. We have to be aware of the subtleties in our culture and the messages that they speak to you and to me. And those messages will always lead you and I away from God, away from Jesus. And it's the message of self-sufficiency, self-gratification, and self-aggrandizement. That's the message that the world wants you and me. If you go back 2 weeks ago, we said, hey, look, to set your priorities in order, we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so when you think about what's important now, what is Paul saying? Run in such a way that you may win. That's the heart of God. He doesn't want you and I to do any less than win. But he goes on and he qualifies it. And he says, and everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control. In all things, they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. You see, back in Paul's day, literally those that competed in the Olympic Games, they would forfeit a year of their life, and they would go and they would move into what we would now call the Olympic Village. And they would change their eating habits. They would change everything that they did. And they would be regimented in all facets of life. And that's exactly what he's saying. He says, everyone in competing in the games, they exercise self-control in all things. But here's the thing. They do it to receive something of this world. A little grass wreath, a little, you know, branch from a tree that rests on your head and then several hours later it's wilted and it's done and there's no use or value in it. You see, when Jesus came to the earth, when he died on that cross, he changed the purpose that you have for this life and the purpose that I have for this life. And he gave you and me a different purpose that we now, to truly win, what's important now is to live for the scope of eternity. And I want you to hear that. To live with eternity in mind and make those decisions because he is saying, Paul is saying, we do it for an imperishable wreath. Many times we live in this world as if we are receiving a wreath, a crown here in this world, in this life. We're disciplined as getting up and going to work. We're disciplined in watching TV. We're disciplined in getting the kids off to practice. We're disciplined in all these things. And God continually and constantly gets pushed back into the background. And then we struggle and we scratch our head and we wonder why we're not winning. We're not winning because we're asking the wrong question. We need to ask the question, what's important now for me, for you, to receive an imperishable wreath? And I'm not saying that you're going to lose your salvation. That's not what the point is here. But when we stand before Christ, you and I, we will be given crowns. And all those things that we do with the wrong motivation, they will be like wood, hay, and stubble, the scripture says. And they will be burned up in front of us. But all those things that have lasting, eternal value, what is important now? That we seek to live for the imperishable wreath. Those things, friends, will last forever. It's called discipline. Discipline or self-control, you can see self-control in there in that scripture. Everyone competing in the games exercises self-control in all things, and that can best be defined as doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done. It's not simply activity, but it's the right activity at the right time. Hear that. It's not just aimless, mindless activity. I can go to work and just have all kinds of activity. I can do this and do that and go here and go there. But it's the right activity at the right time. That is when we ask the question, what's important now? With you have kids, they have teachable moments. Seize those teachable moments, please. Don't think something else is more important. Grab those teachable moments. Sit down with your children. What's important now? And then we can begin to see how this will align all of our decisions and everything of that sort. And we will get there in a few moments. But friends, discipline is a spirit-empowered ability given by God's grace that it allows us to say no to the quick fix and no to the easy road. And it allows us to say yes to the harder but better road. Now we're starting to get light on the whole picture here. Discipline is taught by God's grace to you and to me that allows you and I to say no to those things that are the easy road. And I can attest there are things in my life that I have had to say no to that it, quite frankly, would have been 100% easier than what God was calling me to. Hear that. But discipline says this. Discipline says, I'm going to say no to this, to the self-gratification. I'm going to say no to this because this is what the world is speaking to me. And I'm going to say yes to this because this is where God's leading me. And then we ask the question, what is important now? And we begin to see, oh, now I can begin to see. If God is saying, tell me yes to this, and it's hard and it's difficult, then I can say, well, then I need to do this or I need to eliminate that. That, my friends, is discipline. For years, I played sports. I was an athlete all through college. Discipline. There was a summer where I worked afternoon shift, and I would get up at 4, 5 in the morning and go work out. And then I would go, and by the time I got home, it was time for me to flip right around and go off to work. And then I would get home from work at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then I would sleep a couple hours and get up. Discipline, friends, it's what's important now. And all those things, it was for an imperishable wreath. And what God is saying, and you can remember the Olympics when you see, you know, Phelps, the swimmer. He's got 8, 10, 12 gold medals around his neck. And you can't help but think how many hours, how much time, how many sleepless nights or early mornings the guy spent getting in the pool when everybody else was sleeping, disciplined, how his diet was adjusted, how he changed every facet of his life. And it was all for one goal. It was for winning the race. You and I, we're in a race too. Not a race to get home, but we're in a race to serve God. And the race is life. And what's important now is the question that needs to be asked. We're told in Titus 2, 11 and 12, and I've been speaking about this, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. You see, discipline is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 tells us this. It's translated in most translations that discipline is self-control. Self-control. And that's the last one. Other translations will say it's temperance. And it's the same thing. It's discipline. It's self-control. It's saying no to what we want when God says, I have something else for you. And when we do that, we are exercising discipline. I'm not here to tell you it's easy. But when you and I stand before Christ and we hear, well done, good and faithful servant, it will all be worth it. It will all be satisfying, and all this will pass away, and everything that we have sacrificed will be fulfilling. It's about discipline, friends, and we can look at it this way. We can think, okay, my life like this is meriting out this, and this is the way it's looking. I'm not winning in life. I'm frazzled. I'm scattered everywhere. I've got this low-grade guilt. I have this prayerlessness, and my life is as if I'm in the tornado, and I should be out of the tornado, and the tornado is twisting me around, and I can't stop it. Or we can say, okay, God, what would you have for me? And we can begin, as we've saw the last couple weeks, seek first. Set that time aside, set that portion of money aside, and align your hearts, and then you begin to back up in asking the question, what's important now? What is God asking you to do now? You see, it's not about you, it's not about me. You see, if it was about me, I'd still be in business. I'm here to tell you that. I had a good gig. I didn't need to work as hard as I did. Almost 20 years in the business industry, you get to the point where you have things set so that you need to go, and God said, sell it, sell it. Walk away from it. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about Christ crucified and the risen Savior who will come again. It's about Jesus. It's about Him. Because when it's about us, and we think that winning is getting a free pizza or a 50-cent pizza or getting a close parking spot, our hearts are being tainted. Our hearts are being taught that winning is all about us. And friends, that is not Christianity. I hate to tell you this, but it is not Christianity. Christianity is about sacrifice. Christianity is about self-denial. Christianity is about giving of yourself. Christianity is not about you. It's not about me. It's about Christ. It's about glorifying God. It's about raising praises unto Him. Friends, we are commanded to live disciplined lives. 2 Peter 1:6 says this, to add to knowledge self-control. And that's a command. To add to knowledge self-control. To add that self-control. Discipline, my friends, is a process that we learn over time. And it's best to sum up discipline as delayed gratification. And I can attest to you, and when I give in to selfish gratification, when I have in the past, it's never fulfilling. When you wait on God, when you say no to whatever it is that you think that you need, and you say yes to the more difficult road and for the hard road that God is laying out before you, and when that time comes that God meets that need, it will be so much more fulfilling and so much more satisfying, whatever that need is, whatever that desire is. It will fulfill you because it's coming from God, and it's not coming from you or your own power or your own strength or your own ability. It's not you seeking to obtain what you think you need. It's you glorifying God in your life, and it's you serving Him in the way that He has called you and me to do. That's discipline, friends. And that's what Christ has called us to. You see, when He sacrificed His life on the cross, He called all Christians to a higher calling. We are no longer to live as if the pattern of this world. We are to live according to what He has called you and me to do. And that takes discipline. It takes discipline in every facet of our life. And if we are going to be disciplined Christians, we need to ask the question, what's important now? So you might be sitting there thinking, well, how do I live this disciplined life? And this is the call. This is the call. We see it in the last two verses. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. It's called making the right decisions. It's how you and I live a disciplined life. We can make pre-decision lists. Let me explain that. What a pre-decision list. When I was in my early 20s, I felt God call me to the ministry. And I searched out all kinds of different seminaries, and I even applied to some, and I looked into them, and nothing fit. It's about making the right decision. And God had placed that call of going to seminary on my heart and in my mind. And quite frankly, any young lady that I dated at that time, if she didn't fit the mold, and quite honestly, none of them did. That's why I'm still single. It's making that pre-decision list of saying, what, God, are you calling me to do? And then you back it up and you work backwards and you say, what's important now? Okay, is it important for me to get married and have kids? No, because if it's not right, it's not right. When God appoints that time, it will be right, friends. Was it about going to a different seminary that I went to? No, because it wasn't right. And 17 years had passed, and so don't tell me I don't understand the struggle, because I get the struggle full well. I understand what it feels like to be out in the desert. I get that. For 17 years, I literally disliked what I was doing because I knew and I felt in my heart that God was calling me to something else. I get the struggle. It's real. It's difficult. It's true, and there is a struggle. But what is important now? And when you know what God is calling you to do, and then you begin to make the pre-decision list of saying, God is calling me to do this. Well, if I do this, it's not going to lead me to that. So I can't do that. And that, my friends, is being disciplined. If I do this, then it's going to move me closer to that. And so throughout the time, I got involved in serving in many different facets and many different ways. A chaplain of a minor league baseball team. I was a youth sponsor working and shadowing a gentleman by the name of Rick Wallace, the youth pastor. I was doing all of these ministries. And little did I know, God was teaching. He was leading. He was guiding. Because I was asking the pre-decision life. Another question that you can ask is, what do I want to be? And list those things. Who do I want to be? And list those things. And then you work backwards and you say, okay, if I want to be a man of integrity, if I want to be a woman of integrity, then I have to have certain boundaries and certain parameters. And I can't allow this into my life, or I cannot allow this into my life, but I can accept that. It's about discipline. The discipline that you seek to employ in your life and seek to utilize will always, always, always determine the type of decisions you make. Live a disciplined life, you're going towards the goal. Live an undisciplined life, you're going to be scattered around and you're going to be waffling and you're going to be in that tornado, and that tornado is going to suck you up and going to spin you around and throw you out, and you're not going to understand why. And so, friends, that's exactly what Paul is saying right here. He's saying, hey, my goal is this, that I don't want to be disqualified. That's my goal. That's what Paul is saying. And so, therefore, if that's his goal, that when he preaches, he doesn't want to be disqualified, then he backs it up and he says, look, I am not doing this and I am not doing that. And we can never tell one another what they should or shouldn't do, friends. That's a personal conviction, and that only comes from Christ crucified when he sends the Holy Spirit, because what you're called to do and what I'm called to do is two different things. However, if we never live disciplined, we never ask the question, what is important now? And we never make those pre-decision lists of saying, this is acceptable, this is unacceptable, then you're going to be wavering. That's the first piece to the puzzle. I have lists at home on a computer. I have file in Word document at home on my laptop. And they are listed. This is what God has called me to do. This is what I am allowed to do. And I'm here to tell you that some people will call me, you know, they'll call me a prude or whatever. But quite frankly, so be it. I don't care. I'm here to seek that non-perishable wreath, to glorify God. That's what God has called me to. End of story. I'm not here to say winning when I get a good parking spot. I'm not here to say winning. I'm here to say, what's important now? And friends, the only way to answer that is what God has called you to do, and you back up those decision-making processes. And when he says to love a person, when he says to go to a place, when he says to do this or do that, or to don't do this or don't do that, then you're going to have clear consciences, you're going to have peace in your heart, and you are going to be stability in your life, and you are going to have a confidence that you may have never known ever in your life. As we continue the next several weeks, we're going to just keep on getting more practical. And I hope for 2016, this is what I hope, and I know that that's God's heart, He wants you to win in life. He wants me to win in life. And maybe that sounds like an oxymoron or the two shouldn't go together. But friends, God did not call you and I to a life of misery. He called you and I to a life of hope, a life of peace, and a life of joy. Jesus said it all. Peace I leave with you, that your joy may be full. Hebrews tells us that hope is the anchor for our soul. And so when we have a life and live a life that we don't exemplify those things, and I get the fact that there are struggles and trials and different things, and during those struggles, are you seeking to glorify God? Then back up the answer. If you're seeking to glorify God, what's important now? What is your objective in this situation? What is your goal? Is it for you? Or is it for God? And if it's for God, then your answers will be drastically different than what it would be for you. I hope that makes sense. Because friends, God wants you and I to win at life. He doesn't want us to just get the same old trophy that all these leagues are passing out to these kids these days. And the sad reality of it is there's an underlying teaching that's going on. And it says you don't have to be disciplined. I can be late. I don't have to work at it. I don't have to do anything. And when I was growing up, you worked. You worked. And you worked for that prize. And it's discipline, friends. It's discipline. And it's discipline so that we individually and collectively glorify God and seek to connect Him with the fallen world. That's why we're here. We have the greatest opportunity ever. Do you realize that? You have the most precious gift that you could ever receive. Do you realize that? I hope you do. It's an awesome thing. But let us pray. And may we seek to God to live disciplined lives. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the call that you have on all of us. The call to reach a lost world. And Jesus, we recognize that we can't do that unless you send your Holy Spirit, unless you send the Spirit that comes forth from the Son and comes forth from the Father. And so, Lord, we look to you. We ask you that you would just lead us and guide us and show us your way, that above all, you would be blessed and glorified and your kingdom would be expanded. And may we ask the right questions, the pre-decision lists, the who we want to be lists, and then may we ask the question, what is important now? Father God, we thank you for this word of challenge, this word of grace and mercy, and we love you this day. We thank you and bless you. In the holy name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. And friends, as you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and as you allow your time and your money to be the guardrails of your heart, as you ask those questions, there's one thing that I know for sure. Your life will begin to be balanced the way that God wants you to be balanced, and you, my friends, will be truly beginning to win at life. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may the peace of Christ, the risen Savior and our coming King, may it saturate your soul. And may He grant you the courage and the peace and the discipline and the guidance to do what you need to do. Amen.